Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Jenny and Patrick, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Hello and welcome again to What's Up Peoria podcast. I'm here this morning with my co-host, the Poet Master Patrick.
Good morning, Commissioner Gordon.
Hello. And today we're excited because our special guest is Kendall from the Hanai Cafe that is a hop, skip, and a jump away from Peoria Main Library. Say hello to the folks of Peoria.
Hi, Peoria. It's nice to meet you all.
So before we dive into all our questions, we wanted you to tell us a little about yourself. How did you end up at Hanai Cafe?
Yeah, so long story short, you know, about a year ago, I just was talking with Patrick here. It's my 1 year anniversary tomorrow.
Aww.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So about 1 year ago, I stumbled across Ohana, who's our parent company, mm-hmm. and I absolutely fell in love with their mission and everything they were about. And it just so happened that they had a coffee shop attached to them who also wanted to follow that same mission. And I just fell in love with it and those people who we served. And that's how I landed there. I just wanted to be involved and directly play a role in training these people and just be an active involvement within the community there.
Okay.
So, yeah, all of us here at the city know you through the cafe, which offers an incredible amount of delicious breakfast food that I myself take advantage of on a regular basis. But as you mentioned, that is part of something a little bit bigger, the Friends of Ohana. Can you tell us a little bit about them and the kind of work that they do?
Absolutely. So Friends of Ohana, we're a 501c3 nonprofit based here in the Valley, and we're focused on serving those who are aging out of the foster care system. Mm. And we do this through a numerous amount of programs, one of them being Hanai Cafe, located inside of Peoria City Hall. It's a fully 100% nonprofit coffee shop, completely run by aged out foster youth that we have trained through our Life Lunch program, which actually falls under me. So they take my class and I teach them everything they need to know under the sun through financial literacy, budgeting, interpersonal skills, workplace skills. They leave with a polished resume, a food handler's card, and then they have the opportunity to go out and find employment.
Okay. So now that just makes me wonder, do they all start at the cafe and then kind of branch out, or do they like get those skills and then they like immediately go elsewhere?
Right. So we have what's called our workforce development program. And within that workforce development program falls our Life Launch course. Upon completion of our Life Launch course, they then have the opportunity to go a couple different directions. They can go and find employment with one of our job placement partners, which happens to be Hanai, which we own. They have the opportunity to find employment through us there, or we encourage them to go out because we know not everyone wants to be a barista. That's not everyone's mojo, you know. So we want them to find something of their interest. So we encourage them to go out and find employment elsewhere, and we can help them do that. However, we also have Hanai that they can absolutely come to and try and get a position as a barista with us.
It's pretty incredible. So it's part of a whole suite of programs. You said, what other kind of programs are there?
Absolutely. So we have our transitional housing program. And this is actually, we are opening up more apartments. In 2024, we just opened up a 9-unit apartment complex to house those who have recently aged out of the foster care system, as homelessness is one of the toughest battles that they face when they turn 18 and leave the system.
Yeah, it's like you're an adult now. Off you go.
Right. So aging out, for those who may not know, it refers to when a child in the foster care system turns 18. The state no longer sees them as a child. They're now considered an adult, and they leave the system and they're left with very minimal resources, if any. Financial instability, housing instability, emotional instability. They face it all, and they're often on their own.
Yeah, especially because a lot of times you turn 18 while you're still in high school. So
absolutely.
There's that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is where we offer our transitional housing program for those who are interested and want to take the path of having that help when they turn 17 and a half, and they can be in it until they're 21. And within those 3-4 years, we help find them guidance and mentorship to get on their feet so they're not all alone when they turn 21 and they're ready to face the world.
That's amazing. That's really good work you're doing. I mean, I know I'm just speaking for myself, but even with all the resources that, you know, were available to me, and, you know, I had a lot of advantages, I still couldn't take care of myself when I was 18 years old. I can't imagine being left out in the cold like that. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's truly frightening. Just, I mean, the statistics, they bore the data out. Over 50% of the nation's homeless population spent some sort of time in foster care. Mm. So anytime you're driving and you see these homeless people, you have to think about half of them probably just weren't given the resources they needed to thrive. And wow, that's why they're there. Now, in the state of Arizona alone, we have over 14,000 kids within the system. And in 2025, over 1,000 of them will age out, which is a terrifying number when you think about it.
Scary thought.
Yep. And of those who are aging out, in fact, 1 in 4 of them will immediately become homeless. And 50% will only be employed by the age of 24. And those who are employed will have an average annual salary of only $7,500. So you think about that. How do you make a living?
Yeah, so that's part of your mission statement. It says breaking the historical cycles of disadvantaged youth. So how did the Friends of Ohana, like, how did they obviously saw the problem. How did they start making solutions?
Of course. So all of our programs are scientifically evidence-based of helping those and transforming the lives, which is why we're trying to break those historical cycles. So through these programs, we are trying to stop homelessness. We are trying to get a head start on that emotional instability so they don't have to face those consequences of not being able to thrive after they leave the foster care system. Because as we know it, 30% of them will be arrested. 7 in 10 girls will become pregnant by the age of 21 without going into some sort of program. And only 3% will go on to earn a college degree, compared to over 33% of their non-foster care peers.
Wow.
And this is why it's so important that we catch them right at the get-go, right when they turn 18, and we provide them with those resources and help lay out a foundation to help prevent all this homelessness and instability that we see.
So the work that you're doing is more important now than ever, is what it sounds like.
Of course.
If there are people out there who are listening to this podcast today who want to get involved or who want to contribute either their time, if they want to volunteer, or maybe just money, how can they go about doing that? I know I did see on the website something called the Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit. The contributions of which go to help support foster youth. I know that's one part of it. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that and then how else people can get involved, how else they can help?
Yeah, absolutely. So to answer your first question, the Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit is pretty cool. So through the state of Arizona here, you actually have the opportunity to redirect your tax dollars to our specific organization. We're a QFCO. And what this does is you can redirect them, meaning there's another one for schools that people can do, and you can actually do both of them. And a lot of people don't understand is you still can redirect your taxes to a school if you're interested in that, but you can also redirect it to a QFCO, which is us, a foster care tax credit organization.
Okay.
And what that does is, so for this year, if you're filing for single, you can donate up to $587, and you'll receive a dollar-for-dollar tax return when you file your taxes. And if you're filing jointly, you can file up to $1,173. And every single dollar will go towards Friends of Ohana, which helps us keep these programs alive, essentially.
So they get every penny back?
They get every single penny back.
And all that money goes to help support the program, help support foster youth?
Correct.
That's fantastic. How else can people get involved? How else can they contribute? Do you have a volunteer program?
So, you know, our volunteer, it's a little bizarre. We don't have very many opportunities, just especially with different laws and privacy things we have to follow. So although we do have specific events and everything, our volunteer opportunities are fairly slim, I would say. However, we encourage others to start their own sort of drives, like clothing drives or back to school drives first day of, you know, I have an interview coming up, first day of work drive. Let's collect brand new clothes, you know, work appropriate clothes for them. A lot of people, they like to come in and be a mentor. That's a huge thing because we've seen that, in fact, one person can change someone's entire life. Mm. It takes only a few words, only a few moments to sit down with someone and hear them out and to change their life. So we pride ourselves on mentorship. We're huge, huge advocates for mentorship. So if anyone has any interest in helping any of our young adults, we are absolutely all for it. We have a mentorship application on our website as well.
That's amazing. So I imagine most of this information is available on your website, which is?
Our website is ohanafriends.org. And our parent company, Ohana AZ, is ohanaaz.org. And all the information intertwines between the two.
Okay. And can people, if they didn't do the tax credit, is there a way for them to just make direct contributions maybe right through the website?
Absolutely. We have a huge donation page and it explains all the different sort of things you can donate to and what it would be for. In fact, right now we have a little promotion going on. If you donate $50 or more, you get a free Ohana t-shirt.
Ooh.
And you get to wear it and just represent and be part of that community that you're transforming the lives for these young adults.
Nice. Now, are there other community partners that you work with to help realize your vision? I know that Hanai Cafe is kind of like an extension of Ohana, but is there other organizations you work with?
Right. So actually, Hanai, we're able to open that up there because we are in partnership with the city of Peoria as a whole, which they've been fantastic. And as of right now, we're kind of resetting our partnership. So for 2025, so we're slowly rolling the ball on everything with that. As of right now, we have a few F45 locations that help us out with our events and donations, and they collect donations for us. We also have another company called Levy. Levy is the restaurant group with inside the Chase Stadium, the D-backs.
Okay.
So we're slowly rolling the ball on that. They will become a huge partnership with us and, in fact, become a job placement partner as well.
Ooh, very nice.
We have several others, especially around during the holidays, that like to help out a little bit more and get their own employees and their own community involved as well. So it looks a little different, honestly, every year.
Okay.
It kind of varies and just, you know, depending on what the need is at that specific time. So yeah,
you're
varies.
Flexible in who you partner with.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Takes a village, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so we talked a little bit earlier about helping these kids. I think the word we used was survive, which is really in a lot of cases what they're trying to do. But there's more to life than just surviving. I know one of the things that you do is you help provide the foster youth with, I saw, a summer vacation experience, which I mean, seeing that, I really love that because, like I said a second ago, you know, there's so much more to life and they're so young, you know, and you're only young once.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was just a great program. Can you tell me a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So we pride ourselves on being family, hence our company name, Ohana. Ohana means family. Family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. Mm. And we really shine that through during our family vacation in the summer. We take everyone we serve. Last year we brought over 150 foster kids and those with special needs.
Aww.
Out to camp on the beach in San Diego at Camp Land on the Bay.
Nice.
It was a week-long experience of just family bonding, getting to know each other, and just, like you said, just living their best lives and really just enjoying those moments that a lot of them never had the chance to enjoy. And just being surrounded by those who actually love and value and support them for who they are.
And getting to experience summer vacation.
Right.
You know, like not all the sadness, but like, oh, there can be joy to
your
childhood again.
Of course. And, you know, seeing their faces, a lot of them had never seen the ocean before.
Yeah, because we live in a landlocked state.
Of
it's like,
course.
What is this body of water?
Of course. So witnessing them, seeing the waves for the first time, that has been one of the most rewarding things of my entire life.
Oh, that really hits home for me. I'm a Jersey boy. The shore is my favorite place in the whole world. I love the ocean. I'm so glad to hear they have that. They're getting that opportunity. It's such an incredible thing that you do for them. And I love that your description of the organization as a big family. That's just, I think that's the right way to go about it.
Of course, you know, we can always uplift each other and be there for each other, but you need that sense of family. You need that shoulder to lean on. And as long as we can keep providing support through these programs and everything, we always want to keep that sense of family. At the end of the day, we can only provide so many resources for them.
Yeah.
And those can only go so far. But after they turn 21, when most of these programs stop, they're left alone again. And we always want them to know that they're part of our family. They can always come back to us. We will always be there to catch them as a safety net and just be that family for them because we know most of them don't have it.
Mm. That's awesome. So one of the things, because we are here at the library, we always like to ask our guests about a book you've read that either was meaningful to you personally in relation to the work you're doing, or just maybe influenced your attitude towards life, you know, current, past, whatever.
Yeah. Actually, one of my all-time favorite books, it's called A Little Life. Apologies for butchering the author's name. I believe it's Hanya Yanagihara.
It's a big book.
It is a big book. It's an emotionally heavy book. I mean, it's a tough read. I hardly recommend it to others just because it's so emotionally unstable, as awful as that sounds, but it's so beautiful at the same time. Not only is it my favorite book just, you know, growing up, and it helps you realize the importance of relationships and who you surround yourself with, but it also just goes hand in hand with the work I've found myself in now. You know, it's a lot of these kids that we work with, they have all these childhood traumas. I mean, a lot of them go through things you would never wish to ever imagine, and you don't even want to begin to try and imagine the things they go through. Yeah. And they are stuck with these traumas their whole life with no sort of way to know how to deal with it. So what do? They carry these traumas from childhood and into adulthood. And these are the most impactful years of their life, the most transformative years of your life. How do you continue your life with all these changes, with this trauma in the back of your head? It really comes down to the communities you surround yourself with, the relationships you build with other people, who's there at the end of the day when no one else is. And that's why I love this book, because it's just a constant reminder of who's sticking around, who's by your side at the end of the day.
Before I worked at the library, I worked for Barnes & Noble, and we used to have a lot of people come in and ask about that book. It was, I think for a little while, it was kind of making the rounds on Book Talk and things like that. So, like I said, it's a really big book. It's your classic doorstop, like 1,000 pages or something like that. So most people were too intimidated to pick it up, including myself. But the people who read it, I feel like anyone I talked to who read it had almost the same experience you did. Like, it had a huge impact on them, and it had a really important place in their heart.
It really did, especially, you know, one of the main characters in the story, Jude, he starts as a child and he goes through these unimaginable things, and he's the one carrying it through his life. And it's just so important, because there's one person in there that's holding on to him when he couldn't see a future for himself, when he couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was that one person that saved him. And if we can be that one person for those we serve, then hands down, of course,
it just takes one.
It's no brainer. It truly takes one.
A Little Life. Shout out for A Little Life. All right. So before we get to the Poetry Corner segment of the podcast, I just want to open it up. Is there anything we're missing about the Friends of Ohana or the Hanai Cafe? Anything else out there that you'd like our listeners to know about the work you're doing, or anything at all?
Honestly, I think we covered most of it. Okay. I mean, most of our donations, you know, they go towards that summer camp, that family vacation. They go towards our winter camp, which we'll have here in February. They help support these programs. And since most of our programs are skills and training based, you know, it costs more for us up front to that help these sense. Individuals, which is why our donations are so vital to us. So really the biggest impact others can make is by donating via tax credit, just because, like I said, it's a dollar for dollar reimbursement. So you're essentially not paying anything, but you're still making a huge impact, and which allows us to be able to continue these programs.
And the Hanai Cafe, because it's a 501(c), does all the money from the, well, maybe not all, but majority of the money go back to Ohana? Like, yes. How does that work?
So 100% of our proceeds from Hanai goes straight into Friends of Ohana, our cafe, which at the end of the day helps, you know, it pays our baristas who are working there, our former foster youth. So it just pays for their training and everything. And the rest of the funds goes directly into Friends of Ohana to help us finish out these programs and throw these events.
Okay. And just a shout out to everyone listening, the Hanai Cafe is open from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday at the City Hall location. Now, you don't have to work in City Hall to go to the cafe. So just saying.
It's open to the public.
How many Hanai Cafes are there? Where are the other locations?
So we actually only have this one right now. We did have another one down in Levine. Unfortunately, we had to close that shop early August just due to the economy. It wasn't 100% nonprofit. Only partial proceeds went to our nonprofit. It was more of a full standing, full service coffee shop for the community in Levine. But just unfortunate circumstances with the economy, we had to close it down. But at the end of the day, it was kind of a blessing in disguise because it allowed us to really hone in on our mission and what we want to do and the change we want to make, which allowed us to create this 100% fully nonprofit coffee shop here in City Hall. So at the time, everything happens for a reason. It's truly a blessing in disguise.
Perfect timing. I love it. And lastly, do you have any success stories about what you've been, I know you've only been there a year, but is there anything that's been memorable to you in the time you've been there?
Absolutely. I do have one immediately that comes to mind. And I will just say her name because we're actually releasing her story soon on our socials as well, just to make other people aware. So this is the story of Lachey. When Lachey was 13, her dad suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. He left behind his a grieving mother and 10 siblings. It was Lachey and her 10 siblings. Her mother, of course, struggling with depression and battling a whole handful of other issues, decided the best thing would to be put Lachey and her 10 siblings into the foster care system. Immediately at 13, the second that happened, Lachey was split from all 10 of her siblings. The next 5 years, up until she was 18, she bounced through group home, group home, group home, you know, fought bullying, drugs, alcohol, all those things that are unimaginable to us. And in fact, this is the part that gets me is, and I get emotional talking about it, so I apologize, but right when she turned 18, her group home kicked her out on the curb. That same day, literally kicked her out to the curb, left her with nothing, no financial safety net, no emotional safety net, no friends, no family, nothing, just absolutely nothing.
It's awful.
And fortunately, Lachey's case manager saw her potential and said, you can go down a better path. There's other options for you, such as a transitional housing program. And at the age of 18, Lachey ended up in Ohana's transitional housing program. And that's where her life took a complete 360. In there, she received mentorship, guidance, she got a job, and it even kind of inspired her to choose a career path, which was inspired by her younger sister, who had many disabilities, but she wanted to work in a group home with special needs, which is a whole nother side of what Ohana is. We have a we have a whole side of special needs group homes. It's not tied to Friends of Ohana. However, she is now a house manager at the age of 23 for one of our group homes that serves members with special needs, and she's now living in one of our transitional housing homes with three other 18-year-olds who have just recently aged out of the system and were in the same shoes she was years ago. And she's just there to make an environment built on love and support like she received in our own transitional housing program.
That's awesome. She's getting to pay it forward now. That's
yes. Amazing. It was a full circle moment, which is why I just absolutely love that story.
What incredible strength. That's just amazing.
Right. She saw it through. She fought the cycle and the statistics and the disadvantages that were lying at her feet, and she powered through.
The case manager helped too, just that, you know, opportunity, that one person, that one moment.
Exactly.
That really goes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier. One person can make a big, big difference in someone's life, can help turn things around. And now she gets to be that person for someone else.
Exactly. And she is that person for so many people now too. So full circle moment for Lachey, and we are so proud of her.
Congratulations.
Yay.
All right. So we're going to move on to the poetry corner segment of the podcast, which is kind of a regular segment here at the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Poetry corner.
It was surprisingly difficult to find poems specifically about foster youth or foster families. So eventually I settled on this poem by Aracelis Gourmet. Hopefully I'm not butchering that name. My apologies, Aracelis, if I am. The poem is called Second Estrangement. As I mentioned, it's not specifically about foster youth or fostering, but I thought it spoke to the feeling of estrangement that I think foster youth sometimes feel So I'll go ahead and read the poem, and then we'll get your thoughts. Second estrangement. Please raise your hand, whomever else of you has been a child, lost in a market or a mall, without knowing it at first, following a stranger, accidentally thinking he is yours, your family or parent, even grabbing for his hands, even calling the word you said then for father, only to see the face look strangely down, utterly foreign, utterly not the one who loves you. You who are a bird, suddenly stunned by the glass partitions of rooms, how far the world you knew, and tall and filled, finally, with strangers. So one of the reasons I picked that poem in particular, and I struggled. I thought about changing the line, utterly not the one who loves you, just for the reading today, because I know, and I want to go out of my way to say this. I know there are a lot of foster families out there who really do love the foster youth that they take in, and who really are doing good things. But you know, you hear so many bad stories, like the one that you just related about, you know, children being kicked out to the curb and left out in the cold like that, and passed from family to family, and just trying to imagine what that experience must be like. You know, this isn't the family that you started with. It's not the family that you know or remember, but strangers, and just how difficult that must be.
Yeah, that when I first read the poem, it reminded me I was constantly that child lost in a market because I was distracted easily. And then I turn around and I have no idea where my parents are.
It's just that feeling of, because you're scared.
Yeah, you know? And then it's like, what color were they wearing? And then you're trying, and then all of a sudden, the way that works with your brain, if you think red, all you see is red. You're like, that one, nope, not that one, you know, and you're looking down every aisle. And
just
so,
looking for where you belong.
Yeah.
You know?
So I thought that was like I could relate to that element of it. And then that, you know, like you said, that next level, like at least then I eventually found, you know, who I was looking for. But to someone that is in a foster system, they're constantly searching and not always finding. And that, yeah, that's impactful.
Absolutely. Yeah, this poem, it really spoke to me just because if you think about it, at the end of the day, we are all strangers sitting on a floating rock, and we only have each other. And who are we to not lend a hand to those who need it the most, especially when I feel as though I'm so fulfilled within my own life that I'm just overflowing and want to, you know, reach out as much as I can, because there's so many strangers to these kids, so many of them. They will always have that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of not having any hope, and that feeling of not belonging anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was really what I thought this poem got to the heart of, is that feeling of being lost and that feeling of not belonging, not feeling like you have a place to go, a place where people will take care of you, will, you know, will always be there for you. And it really, really, really warms my heart to hear about the work that your organization is doing and your mission to try and become that family for these kids and give them a place where they can come, that I think you described it as a safety net earlier, a place where they could come even after they're out of the program, where they can come back and talk to someone, and you know they've got friends who care about them. It's incredible work. That's why we wanted to do this podcast.
Yeah, because I love that, you know, Ohana means family. And then Hanai has a special meaning too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Hanai is Hawaiian for informal adoption or chosen family. So to us, family doesn't mean blood related. You don't have to be, you know, directly related to someone to be that sense of family for them. It's who you choose at the end of the day. You choose who's on your side, who's on your team, and that's your family.
That's absolutely true. I have a friend of mine that I grew up with since I was a little boy, and I mean, he's my brother for all intents and purposes. And I think we all have somebody like that in our lives.
Yes.
You know? So you can be that person for somebody else. You can be that stranger that helps.
You
so
can be that chosen family for someone. Yes.
Yes. Please visit the website. Please Google the Friends of Ohana, the Hanai Cafe, read up, find out more about the work that they're doing and the way you can contribute to help these foster youth who are facing so many challenges. Thank you so much for being here today, Kendall. It's been such a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you. It's really an honor. Thank you for allowing me to just share our mission and who we are and just the change we're trying to make, because at the end of the day, it takes a village, and it can also just take one person to, you know, make that difference. So thank you.
Maybe you can be that person. All right, that's the end of the What's Up Peoria podcast for this week. Please join us again. Check the website regularly for our updates. We've got a lot of great shows on the docket, and we'll see you again soon. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Hello, What's Up Peoria? This is Jenny, also known as Commissioner Gordon by Poet Master Patrick, and I'm here to tell you about some upcoming events happening in the city of Peoria in the month of March. It's wild to be thinking about March already. It was 35 degrees on my drive into work today. But as we all know, blink, and it will be spring. First up, I wanted to highlight Sunrise Mountain Library's annual Bravo event. This year, their theme is wild about reading, so put on your safari hats and begin the adventure of a lifetime. You can, of course, come to learn about the services and collections Peoria Library has to offer, while also enjoying the fun, free family activities available. And the Friends of the Library will be hosting an incredibly huge book sale. So we hope to see you there on Saturday, March 8th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Another thing that starts in spring is, of course, spring training, which is weird to think because it technically starts in winter on February 21st, but it will go into actual spring. One event they offer in their game promotions is Book It to the Ballpark. This is where Peoria Library comes to the spring training game. If you donate a like new children's book to the Peoria Library, your kid can play catch on the field after the game. You are encouraged to bring your own ball and glove, and the book should be donated during the game at the library's booth on the concourse. So come book it to the ballpark on Saturday, March 15th. Another fun thing City of Peoria offers are our Second Saturday programs. It happens, you guessed it, every second Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. The next two will be Saturday, March 8th, and Saturday, April 12th. It does stop in May because, as we all know, it gets hotter in Arizona in the summers, just by a few degrees. So if you want to hear some great live music, see art for sale, as well as art being made right in front of your eyes, buy some fun items from vendors that are local, or even have food from a food truck, a nice sip of coffee from Axiom Coffee House, or even be adventurous and try the Novel Ice Cream stuffed donut, or you can just try a donut or ice cream from Novel Ice Cream. Come on out the second Saturday from 4 to 8 p.m. on either Saturday, March 8th or Saturday, April 12th. A couple other things I wanted to highlight were our theater friends. Theater Works, of course, is doing their Oliver show during the month of February, but another fun thing they offer is Global Sounds. This is actually a free series of concerts that are all focused on different cultures every month to kind of broaden your cultural experience in music, and they offer it for free so that way you are able to experience it without having to put too much pressure on your pocketbook. Of course, St. Patrick's Day is happening in March, so we have the McHales, an Irish folk, bluegrass, pop, rock, fusion band. I think they got almost all the music genres there, but that just makes it that much more fun. So come on out on March 19th to hear the McHales play some Irish traditional jigs and bluegrass wheels. Now, it is a free program. However, they do ask you to get tickets because seating is limited. So just go to theaterworks.org, click on the Productions and Program drop-down box, go to Special Events, and then click Get Tickets. Our other theater friend is Arizona Broadway Theater, and they have for shows, but one free thing they offer is a coffee break and theater tour. This is where you can choose to come either at 12 o'clock noon or 2:30 p.m., have some coffee, nom on some treats, and then you get to have an immersive tour, getting to see the technology they use for their plays up close. Now, the times in March are already sold out, but Friday, May 9th, 12:30
or a 1 at 2:30 are still available, as are Friday, July 11th and Friday, August 22nd. It is totally free, but again, they do ask you to get tickets so they know how many people to expect, hence why March is already sold out. But check them out at azbroadway.org and click on their special events to see if you can go in for a coffee break and theater tour. Well, we hope whether it's Book It to the Ballpark at spring training, Bravo at Sunrise Mountain Library, or visiting our friends over at TheaterWorks and Arizona Broadway Theater, or hanging out with us downtown at Second Saturdays with the arts part of the Arts, Culture, and Library Services Department. We hope to see you around town, aka the city of Peoria. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next time on What's Up, Peoria.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up, Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up, Peoria.